Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to the show and happy Monday. But you know what? Whatever. Like, what the fuck ever. Life is a mindset. And you know what? It's giving like we have a very exciting week. You know, we have a lot to look forward to this week. This Monday, yes, technically it's a Monday in a technical sense.
Some Mondays
are harder than
others. Better than others. And not all Mondays are created equal. And I would say on the scale of Mondays, this Monday is okay. We will make it through this Monday because we have such an exciting week ahead of us. I don't even know where to start.
No, today's one of those Mondays that like makes you like realize, Jackie, everything's going to be okay, you know?
Yeah, this week is the 6-year anniversary of the creation of the most incredible show on the planet.
Yes, tomorrow, in fact, marks 6 years that Jax, your girls, Jax and I, have been doing this here show now through many iterations, many studios, many journeys, many scandals, many ups, many downs. Jax and I are still here. And that's just kind of an incredible feat in this space. And
In this climate.
Jackie and I actually recorded, was that on Friday?
Yeah.
A podcast episode about our journey, you know, at a glance. It was actually part one of two. We realized we weren't even really able to scratch the surface on the 6 years. We took
because
questions.
Because we got a little stuck in the mud and this episode took kind of like a negative turn. And alternate title for the episode was called Chip Origin Story because we have a chip on our shoulder and like we just do.
And we just really dove into like all the iterations of the toast and like, you know, personalities that we had, our outlook on certain things and how we got to this place now was, you know, we've been hardened. That's for damn sure.
That's for damn sure. So we're mentioning it all, but then we're going to do a part two of the episode where we're leaving the negativity and the toxicity in the past.
The point of the episode was supposed to be like celebrating our milestones. And of course, we got like stuck and like, we were mad about this. So we got our anger out. And honestly, people are lauding it as like one of their favorite episodes ever.
It's hysterical.
I thought the feedback was going to be like, people were going to be like, you guys are so negative. Like I thought people were actually going to be mad at us for being so negative. And they were like, guys, it's not negative. It's you just like remarking on your journey. Like it's been, you know, full of highs and lows. But on the second
There's
part
been
of
negativity.
The on the second part of the episode, we are going to celebrate.
Focus on the positivity.
So it's 6 years, you guys, of toastiness. And this year is just kind of this week is going to be just a celebration of that. You know, Jax is coming to New York. We have our toastiversary party this weekend. It's going to be huge.
I'm really, really excited for the week, and I feel as though we should use that excitement to buoy us through this Monday. And from us to you, hopefully, that rubs off.
I'm not even worried about it, you know?
What's a Monday?
Like, and you know what? I'm getting a haircut today.
Monday, you've got nothing on us.
Monday, I don't know her.
Monday, try me.
Monday, more like fun day.
Okay, now you're being crazy.
No, but also, like, I'm getting a haircut today, and I'm actually, and I know I say this every time, I'm actually thinking of doing something, not like a bob, but something a little bit more dramatic than, like, my usual trim 2 inches layers in the front. I think I'm going to do, just listen, please hear me out, because, you know, I can't make a big decision without you, and, like, please don't roll your eyes at me. I need your help, okay?
I understand that you can't make a big decision without me, and I would never fault you for that. However, this is not a big decision.
No, it is, because I usually do, like, a trim, max 2 inches, but then, like, a ton of layers and the pieces in the front. Yeah, I get like 5 inches off. But overall, the length remains, you know, pretty untouched. I'm thinking today of doing like 4 inches.
Okay, so nothing.
Oh, really? That's nothing?
And I don't love a 4-inch cut.
Oh my God. So I shouldn't do it.
I like either keep the length or go short in general. Like not, and there's
oh, that's
varying,
so funny. But
I don't love a mid.
Oh my God. I kind of like a mid on other people.
Some people, yes, but it's giving like literal nothing. Like, are you a girl with long hair or short hair? You're giving average.
I'm going to touch you. And like, if I go missing, like what would they describe it as?
Average length hair.
So skinny and gorgeous.
And it's like your humor isn't visible. Like, you know.
Oh my God. Wait. I thought you were going to like love my mid idea. Should I get a bob?
No. So, you know, I love a bob and I will tell everyone, Margot Ashray, to get a bob.
No.
I don't know that I could say that to you confidently. Like, I think your hair is your thing, and what you have is a good thing going, and you have gorgeous hair, and it literally looks amazing all the time, and it can go up or it can go down, and you style it perfectly, and I think like it's giving a little bit like midlife crisis that you just want to mess up your hair.
No, the thing is like I'm just feeling really confident in my body. I'm like, you know, coming up on like, I don't know how many months into my fitness journey, and having like a sharp jaw is something that I think is just literally required for certain haircuts, or at least for me. And for so long, my hair was my security blanket. Now I'm feeling like I don't really need it. Like I'm proud of my face and like, I don't know. But at the same time, you're right. Like my hair is my thing.
It's not even about a security blanket. Like plenty of supermodels have long, gorgeous hair.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. I should do what my other models, my like, fellow models
are
doing.
When I see a picture of you, anytime I'm not like, oh, that girl needs a haircut or that girl needs a new hair. I'm like, oh my God, her hair is fabulous.
Oh my God. Thank you for saying that, because that reminds me that I saw the Olivia Rodrigo concert this weekend. And I feel even more firm in my belief that like
she needs to cut her hair.
A dramatic haircut would change her life, especially because one of my takeaways from the concert was like, she's very clearly trying to separate herself from this like Disney character. It was like a little not inappropriate at all. It was provocative in a sense.
And like, you know? Try hard provocative.
Yeah. Like she cursed a lot. And there was like a camera angle, like, you know, underneath her skirt. Like it was kind of crazy, but like not.
But did it feel genuine or it felt like forced because I'm trying to break out of this box? Who put me in this box?
It felt forced, especially because like the people in front of me was like a mom and her, and she obviously took her daughter and her friend who were like, they couldn't have been more than six. And they were so excited and they had bows in their hair.
Six?
They were really young. And every time she cursed, like the mom and the kid looked at each other. It was like kind of funny. Yeah. So it was very clear that she was trying to separate herself from this, like, you know, young audience. And honestly, a haircut would help.
I agree with that. Are you just saying six? Like, as we say, you know, like
no,
six?
It's really hard for me to know how old kids are. Okay.
Same for me.
Seven. I don't know. Under 10, under 9, under 8. Yeah. 7 or 6.
Okay. That's young.
But then the girls next to me. And I've been to the Eras tour 4 times. Like, I know what like a crazy person looks like. Jackie, these two girls.
That's a funny quote.
Jackie, these two girls were on another level. And it actually really made me worry. Like, I went into the underbelly of Gen Z on Saturday night, and I did not like what I saw. Like,
tell us, report back.
This is what I saw, ready? And I'm not, I swear on my life, I am not even adding 1 ounce of dramedy, okay? And I'm moving my microphone, okay, ready? Jackie, I wanted to call these girls mothers, Jackie, and they were far too old to be acting this way. They were at least 15, 16. Me and Ben were freaking out, Jackie, like, And then the craziest part was like they were filming on Snapchat, and the second they put their phones down, they stopped crying.
Okay, on the one hand, that's psychotic. On the other hand, it makes me happy that they're not genuinely feeling that way. And also, like, explain to me the Olivia Rodrigo fan. Like, why are we crying? Are we crying for, because we love Olivia? Are we crying because her music's about heartbreak and we're heartbroken?
No, they were crying for Olivia.
Oh, because they're excited to see her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Okay, no, Jackie, it was really crazy. Like,
that's a little better.
And you know me, like, one of my philosophies is, like, at a concert, you should be able to enjoy your life. Like, sing as loud as you want. And I think that, like, you can sing really loud without disturbing people. Like, it's entirely possible. You can dance and jump and sing. Yeah. Especially, like, I'm dancing and jumping and singing. But when your screams are piercing my eardrum, like, you need to stop. And I'm not a naysayer. Like, I'm a very positive concert goer. I don't judge other people at concerts. Like, I'm the crazy person. I'm always, Someone once yelled at me at Adele. Like, that's me. And so if I'm saying you're doing too much, like, you are seriously, like, you need to be institutionalized.
Interesting.
I swear to God.
But it's like, why the crying? Because I always think back, like, my point of reference from when we were younger and, like, our version of that was, like, when people would see the Jonas Brothers.
Or, like, Hannah Montana.
Or Justin Bieber. Like, they would scream. I remember in the documentary, I think it was Justin Bieber's documentary, there was, like, a guy working the stadium. He's like, I never heard screams like that in my life. I think he said, I used to work at an airport and this was louder. Like,
yeah.
But it wasn't, like, like losing their mind, mental illness, crying. It was, like, excited.
No, I guess you're right. Maybe it's just a young person thing, not, like, a Gen Z thing. And I'm proud to say, like, I never did this. But, like, Justin Bieber, like, the girls would be sobbing violently.
Yeah.
Not to call her out. Like, Margot's friend Emily, like, she was one of those girls.
I know.
She, like, followed Justin. She had, like, a Twitter account. Like,
I know.
XO Justin or something. Like, there were girls like that for sure. And we were really into the Jonas Brothers, but I don't think I would have cried if I saw them.
No, I know. And I was as into Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus as any tween could be into anything ever. And I never behaved like that.
Well, we were extremely well adjusted, honestly.
Yeah.
No, it was really crazy. Like, I went into the underbelly of Gen Z, and like, it was definitely an anthropological moment, you know?
Did you enjoy yourself at the concert?
She's so supremely talented. It's really insane. Like, her voice is so good. And, you know, she's so young. And I feel like that's really, you can see that in her performance. Like, she just jumps and screams and jumps and screams. And, like, she doesn't look tired. She doesn't look sweaty. Her hair, you know, stayed intact the whole time. Like, she's just like a young person, and you're watching a young person, like, you know, use all the energy that's available to them, and it's impressive.
Yeah.
And the music is so good. Like, I pretty much knew every song, and I'm not like a crazy diehard, but like, I listen every time she releases music, and her music is so good. And you know what, actually, one of my big takeaways from it that I thought was really impressive is she has like a very clear vision. Like, her graphics, her outfits, her dancers, her music, like, it all is a part of this like brand. And it's really cohesive, and it all made sense. And I think like whoever, or whether it's her aesthetic just coming to life, or if there's like a person in charge of like her art director, they're doing an amazing job. Like, it really is so cohesive.
But is that part of the provocativeness? It's like, no. Yes, the provocativeness is part of the cohesion, and it's a nice branding, but it's like pushing the envelope a little forcefully.
Like, the provocativeness makes sense to like the brand that she's like putting out there, but like, just to her, like, when she was talking, she's just this little girl, you know? And she kept, me and Ben were
little girls,
me and Ben were dying, Jackie. She kept saying, sheesh. She must have said it 15 times. Sheesh, New York, you guys are loud. Oh, you're a beautiful crowd. Sheesh.
Did she say that the crowd was bussing?
No, sheesh. That's all she said. Like, every time she
took cap.
I will say, though, she, a big point in her column, she barely spoke. Thank you. It's one of my least favorite things when people are like giving monologues. Like, cool.
Cool, sing.
Cool. If I wanted a reading, I would go to Barnes & Noble, you know?
Shut up and sing.
Sheesh. You guys are loud. Like, it was so many sheeshes.
They were loud. Sheesh.
They were loud. Oh, my God. It was crazy. She's one of those people where every song is the biggest song. It wasn't like, Deja Vu was really loud, but so was this deep cut she just released, Obsessed, you know? Everyone knew every word.
Great. So you'd recommend to a friend?
Yeah. I would bring earplugs, like, really seriously, not to be like a big time loser. Like, I survived the Eras Tour 3 times. I would bring earplugs.
You said 4.
Was it 4? I couldn't remember. Nashville, 2 in New York. No, 3.
Okay.
Bring earplugs and just pray, like, the girls in front of me who were with their mom were sweet as sugar. Like, I loved watching them. I was really, a lot of the really young girls, like, it was so sweet. This was like a core memory in the moment, in the making for them. I would try to avoid, you know, the teenagers. Like, they seriously, they were unwell.
I imagine it's hard to avoid them there.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah. So that was what I did. What did you do?
I had such a wholesome weekend. Not that they're really ever anything other than that, but I was like talking to Dane on the phone, like, we were recapping our weekends, and it was just like one thing after another, you know?
No brothels this weekend?
No, like, we went to the library.
Stop. You went to the library.
And you know what? Going to the library is a really good thing to do around tax season, because you feel a little bit okay with where your tax money's going. Like, if you have like a pretty decent local library, it's like, I pay for this and I'm happy to.
Yeah. No, like, it's good to see the fruits of your labor.
Yeah, it's like every other time our taxes go to the roads that aren't paved, like the this and that, and like everything is shite.
I feel like it just really depends on where you live. I feel like some states like do a tip top job of putting those taxpayer dollars to work. You know, the roads are big and the lights work. In New York, it's like bumpity bumpity. Every light is out.
Florida's pretty good about like using the tax money well, and but like, really go to your local library on tax day when it hurts the most.
I love that.
And it made it okay.
No, you know what? So take the bus to the library. Seriously.
Yeah. What are other like government hospitals. Programs?
Well, no, I feel like hospitals are actually privately owned.
Yeah.
So yeah, public transit, public library, like the roads.
Yeah. Anyways, so the library, it was really nice. And then also the family, not me though, went to Disney on Ice this weekend.
I can't believe you didn't go. Like,
I know. Well, so we didn't want to take Charlie because I just thought he would be a little and it's cold and it's like during nap time and it just like wasn't what was best for him. So either Zach and I was going to stay back with him and Zach like wanted to go. I didn't really have a care. So he wanted to go. And then when I saw the videos, I was like, oh, that actually looks really awesome.
Is this like a thing that's always happening or they go on tour? Like they just happen to be in your town?
Yeah, they happen to be in our town. They did like a few days here and it's a touring thing. So I saw the videos and it looked to be like a really cool thing. Like a lot of the fun of Disney brought to your local arena.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I think the kids really liked it.
I so wish I could have been there. I saw the videos too and I said, damn, that looks special.
Yeah. And then we had a barbecue yesterday. It was just queuing up. Who'd you invite
to your barbecue?
My neighbors.
Cool.
All she talks about is school and her neighbors and her mom.
Is that a bad thing?
No.
It did look really fun. And sorry, I'm just really going to switch it really quickly. Just going to switch the conversation back to me because I remembered something else I wanted to say. I was trying to find like a segue.
There's no shame in her game.
Yeah, no, I feel like if I just own it, like nobody can yell at me. And it does sort of like involve you know, which is exciting. I started reading The Marvelous Marjorie Post. What's the book called?
The Magnificent Lives of Marjorie Post.
I just call it Marjorie Post.
Redheads, February 2023 read.
Loving it.
I'm so glad.
And it just like, it made me feel jealous. Like not in any way do I want to live in the 1900s. Like Ms. when she was talking about like taking the horse to school. I was like, oh my God. But.
And they like moved to Michigan in like the freezing cold. Like,
oh my God.
Her dad's like wellness retreat.
Les Miserables and like rolling the wheelchair like through the icy roads of Michigan. Like seriously, kill me now. Kill me now. I have no interest in living in that time period. Like Ms. However, when they were just talking about how, like, you know, she was very wealthy because her dad, like, invented cereal.
Her dad is Post. She's Marjorie Post cereal.
They invented cereal and, like, they just became, like, billionaires. And he became friends with, like, other, of course, like, really wealthy Rockefeller. And it was just, like, there were all these people who had, like, you know, revitalized and, like, created, like, these amazing things. And I guess it was just the time. It was, like, an industrial time.
Yeah.
And I just, like, kind of am jealous. Like, I just wish, like, there were people, like, inventing, like, things that are changing lives right now, like, in small ways. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like we're living in a very industrious time.
Interesting. I don't wholeheartedly agree.
Okay. Well, it's okay to be wrong.
Because I was just watching Shark Tank, I feel like they've inspired a generation of entrepreneurs. We also are living, like, you know, I know we don't value it as much here, but like the tech entrepreneurs like Uber.
I guess like Uber was a cultural reset.
And for you, it was a turdy reset.
It was a turdy reset. Okay, that's factual. Because the only thing I was thinking, something that like really, really changed. But no, you're right. Uber like really did change like this, you know, the landscape of my life.
Instacart.
But like Elon, you know.
Oh, yeah. Elon
people
is
not
an
getting
inventor.
Gas anymore.
Elon really is an inventor swirly. A lot of the other people just have like an idea for a program.
Okay. I just have like one question about the book. Yeah. It's from the beginning. Like they like really maintained that like he... No. I have so many questions. First of all, like, how did he get better?
Who the fuck is he, the dad?
Yeah, like, they brought him to this wellness retreat. It didn't work. And then he, like, stole things from the wellness retreat and made a company off of it.
Yeah, pretty much.
How did he get better?
I think from healthy living. He must have had a disease that
It didn't work. And then he started eating that lady's food and he got better. Right. Like, it made no sense. I just wanted to say that. Like, I'm happy he got better, but, like, how?
It's a true story, but why don't you Google him when you're done?
They thought that he got better because they became Christian Scientists.
Yes.
Cool. And then the other thing that I had is like, I know the Post logo, you know, and I'm familiar with some of their brands, but like, I wouldn't have thought of the Post brand as being like this major, major, like multi-generational.
So today Post has been bought and absorbed, I think by Kraft. Oh. So the Post brand isn't like the huge brand that it was like even in the 50s, 60s, because it's been absorbed. Mm-hmm. So Post General Foods.
General Mills.
General Mills bought Post Consumer Products. Hold on. Its own. I have to Google it. But anyways, they have like a bigger brand above them.
Of course.
Not everything is post this, post that.
Also, like,
today.
Don't quote me on this because I'm only like 30% into like Justice for Kellogg. Like, the dad literally stole the whole thing. Just saying.
Kellogg was the program that he went to.
Yeah, Dr. Kellogg. And then he, of course, like, saw that this guy stole his thing and made his own thing, Kellogg's, and he was successful too.
It's really actually great that you're talking about this. Have you seen the trailer for the new Jerry Seinfeld movie, Unfrosted?
I have.
It's about the Breakfast Wars, Kellogg versus Post.
You're lying.
Amy Schumer is playing Marjorie Post.
You're lying.
And it's like a comedy about the Breakfast Wars.
No, I'm telling you, like, there's a lot going on in the breakfast aisle.
No, there's actually a lot going on in that book.
Yeah. No, I'm loving it. I took it with me. I have my Kindle with me. I'm going to read it during my haircut. I'm like, I can't put it down. I almost chose it.
Will you listen to the Redheads episode after?
Of course. I almost chose it as my book for book club, but then I decided to go with Demon Copperhead. And honestly, it's an amazing book club book, and I kind of wish I might.
Demon Copperhead is an even better book club book, but they're both really good.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love it.
There's a lot of books like this. If you like this style of book of like,
I do.
Here's an important person throughout their history and, you know, an important woman. And here's just like a biography of their life in a girly swirly sort of way.
Yeah, that's the thing. I can't read biographies, but I can read girly swirly biographies. Biographies that have been swirlied.
Yes, I have a lot of swirly biographies. That was like, you should also read American Duchess, and other redhead choice. That's a swirly biography about... Consuelo Vanderbilt.
Okay. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I love it. I'm so glad you like the swirly biography.
I do.
Well, keep me posted on your Marjorie Post journey.
I will.
And The Redheads is out now. The episode is making major waves. And as you can see, like, the thing about The Redheads is it's evergreen. Claudia's reading a book from over a year ago. She's going to listen to the episode. It's like it was yesterday.
And they also just inspire reading. Because I said a little while ago, I haven't picked my Kindle up in a month. Literally,
What made you choose Marjorie Post?
I had added it to my want to read because I was maybe going to choose it for my book club book. And then it was just right there. And I was in the nail salon. And I was like, sure. Like, I had to just make a decision.
Also, it's a good cover. And not to judge books by their covers, but sometimes I do.
Okay. Well, I told you guys that I purchased a Kindle Oasis from a toaster. And it was the one that, like, doesn't have the cover on top, you know?
Oh, I have one of those. Shameful.
No, and I kind of want to throw it away. No, I'm kidding. But, like, it's just not nearly as fun.
No, I agree.
And then, like, I get, like, the pornography, the porn ads. Like, it's annoying.
What's so funny is I'm on my big one, my Kindle Scribe. I'm still in the middle of Josh's book. And so it's on next to my bed, and like literally Josh's face is on my nightstand for like weeks now.
You sleep with Josh.
I sleep beside Josh.
It's nice. Okay, so let's dive in. How are the stories today? Are they swirling?
I would say so.
Oh, great.
I would say they're of the swirly variety.
Ooh.
So without further ado, here are the Fast Five Swirly Stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five Swirly Stories that you need to know are brought to you by Mary and George, our new favorite show on Stars. Mary and George is a Stars original inspired by the story of Mary Villiers, who molded her beautiful and charismatic son George to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Through outrageous scheming, the pair rose from humble beginnings to become the richest, most titled, and influential players the English court had ever seen. Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine are starring in the show, and critics are obsessed. They're calling it sexy, witty, and darkly rewarding. This is like so on point with what we were just saying, like stories from history coming to life in a swirly-like manner. Stars understands the swirly biography, you know?
This is a swirly biography. I can't wait to watch this show.
Watch Mary and George only on Stars and the Stars app. Jax and I are truly obsessed with period pieces, and Mary and George is no exception. Mary is played by Julianne Moore, and Mary pretty much has nothing to her name, but is desperate to elevate her social standing. Now, if that isn't relatable, I don't know what is. So it's starring Nicholas Galitzine, Julianne Moore. It's on Stars and the Stars app. You can watch it now on Stars and the Stars app. It is so good. Add it to the list of swirly biographies. Today's episode is also brought to you by Thrive Cosmetics. So Thrive Cosmetics has a full line of makeup to refresh your everyday look. With clean, skin-loving ingredients and their foolproof products, they make it easy for any skill level to apply. So they have so many products that are viral, that are well-loved. Personally, I'm wearing right now the Thrive Cosmetics Tubing Mascara. I love it. They're easy-to-use waterproof pencil, holds like a wax, it blends like a powder. You can use it to line your brows, give them structure, or create that natural-looking stroke of hair to fill in sparse brows. They also have a really popular product. It's a highlighter eyeshadow combo. It's called the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It makes your eye look super effortless. It's buildable. They have 16 different shades to choose from. You can apply as much or as little as you like. Their unique formula for the tubing mascara, that's what I wear, it's called the Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara, creates tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. If you have a hard time holding a curl or having your lashes look lengthy and volumized, check out the tubing mascara from Thrive Cosmetics. It's one of my favorite makeup products. It's tried and true, always in my makeup kit. It's easy to remove. It slides right off with warm water and does not leave smudges. So refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics. It's luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/toast. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/toast for 10% off your first order. Thrivecosmetics.com/toast for 10% off your first order. Today's episode is also brought to you by Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials, but at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. So they have 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. They have organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry as well. The best part about Quince is that all of their items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. How do they do that? Well, they partner directly with top factories, and they're cutting out the cost of the middleman, and they pass those savings on to you, the customer. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, which we love. I have so many fabulous items from Quince, and they have stood the test of time. I feel like they're, at this point, like years old. I've got great slacks, cashmere sweaters that I can pair with a million different things. They're not like crazy standout items. They're just really, really good basics. And when you're building like a capsule wardrobe, you need to invest in like a couple good pieces, and Quince is a great place to do that. So you can indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/toast for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/toast to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Jax, what's your favorite item that you've gotten from Quince?
A beautiful sweater.
You're a beautiful girly.
I like a nice sweater.
Of course. And those, like, you're better off buying one and investing in a good one. And Quince is going to get you the best price, made of great materials, at quince.com/toast.
No itch, no pulls.
True. Quince.com/toast.
Okay, thank you. Are you ready for our first story? Kind of like breaking news this morning, mm-hmm. or at least I'm just seeing it, but Morgan Wallen was arrested.
I saw.
After launching a chair from the sixth floor of a bar in Nashville that landed just 3 feet away from cops. So Morgan Wallen was charged with 3 counts of reckless endangerment and 1 count of disorderly conduct after launching the chair at Chief's Bar on Sunday night. Officers from the Metropolitan Nashville Police Department alleged the chair landed just 3 feet away from them.
That's unfortunate.
His bond was set at $15,250, and he was spotted being shielded by umbrellas as he was released at 3:30 a.m. on Monday.
Wait, sorry. Unfortunate that it landed near, like, cops. No, I thought that sounded like unfortunate that it didn't land on the cops.
I understood what you meant.
Yeah. Okay, like, not to be like so judgy, because I'm so for having a good time. Like, go wild. But like, really, you know, like, why do you have to take it this far? This is why we can't have nice things. Like, just have fun and get drunk. Why do you have to go like being violent, you know?
No, it's so insanely stupid and so dangerous.
Like, yes.
First of all, I mean, imagine he's in like a populated, busy part of
town. He's on Broadway.
Like, 6 floors up, if that chair hit someone.
Dead.
Like, what are you doing? There are so many ways to have fun.
So
like,
true.
I don't like people, like, in general, just thinking of, like, a drunk guy who's, like, throws chair. Like, ugh, yeah. Stop.
No, but also just, like, I'm so, like, down to have a good time. But, like, when the theme is recklessness, like, I can't get on board, you know?
Yeah, and recklessness towards other innocent bystanders who actually aren't even with you. Like,
yeah, like, leave them alone.
Just going about their night walking down the street.
Yeah, it's giving really selfish and,
it's such a bad look, and he's obviously been through a lot of ups and downs, and he's been arrested before, and, mm-hmm. you know, but it's like, why can't he just behave?
No one's even asking him to behave. They're just asking him not to hurt people. Like, he's nuts. He could do whatever he wants, go make out with girls at bars. Like, who cares? Like, that's part of your image. But, like, now you have to, like, be a criminal? Like, stop. You know, like, you have to take it too far, your bad boy image. Like, you have everything in the world. Like, you are so successful. You could party anywhere. Throw a party at your house. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
But why do you have to take it so far? I'm like, really over this behavior. Like, it's annoying.
Yeah. It is. I really hope. I don't know. I feel like every time he like goes through something serious, he's like, okay, I'm going to stop drinking. Yeah. I'm going to like, and I think drinking is like obviously a very
important part of the culture.
And a big issue in his life. Like even on his album, he toggles between like sobriety and, you know, Born with a Beer in My Hand. Like I think he's always toggling between the two extremes, and it's something that he struggles to find how it suits him. He's 30 years old. Like,
figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, you're a father. Stop it.
Yeah, and you're a role model for so many people. I know you probably didn't ask to be, but you just are. Like, people love you and they look up to you, and like behavior like this is just trash behavior.
It's giving trash. And I don't know, Luke Holmes would never. No, like Luke Holmes, that's my stable king right there. You know,
that's
like
so true.
That's my law abiding family man king. And I'm sorry, like he would I love never. Them both. By the way, I love them both. But like, this is why Luke is Luke, you know?
No, it's so true. And it's like Luke drinks. Luke beer never broke Luke's heart. How old is Luke?
17.
Timeless. You're timeless to me.
Let me guess. I would say 32.
34.
No, and like father of two, you know, businessman. Like his version of being crazy is like going hunting. Like that's our stable king right there. Like we should, I feel like people should be more grateful to him. Like, you know, we have our Morgan and like it's fun, you know, but like we always have Luke. He's always there for us in a really sort of paternal way.
Yeah.
This is like how you can't bring up Taylor without bringing up Beyonce. Like you can't bring up Morgan without bringing up Luke.
Yeah.
Speaking of Taylor and Morgan, did you see that video of Morgan Wallen?
I did. He like the fans were booing her, but he was like not being shady.
Yeah, no, I found it to be like an endearing moment. He was basically saying like, we've set a record tonight. Like this is the most like attended concert in the history of this arena. Or stadium, excuse me. And I'm really excited about that. And I'm going to keep saying it until Taylor Swift comes. Because then, of course, like, the record is going to be broken. And it was like a funny comment. And then everyone was like, boo, boo. And he's like, all right, stop. Like, seriously, like, what are you doing? We're grown men here. We're going to be booing a girl. Like, and then he got arrested that night. So.
Damn. Rough night.
Not a good look. Yeah, it's giving.
Do better.
It's giving yikes. Yeah, we're kind of being like Karens right now. But when you're like public safety.
No, and it's like, it's not even just like you and your party. Like there are people walking in the street who have done nothing wrong, who do not choose to be associated with you, who get hit with a chair.
No, but Jackie, he's a threat to public safety. And like, yeah, we're going to be Karens about that.
Yeah, I'm going to be Karens about like people who have nothing to do with you being harmed by your actions.
Like it could have been someone like an older gentleman walking his dog. Like.
Like, stop. if you choose to party with Morgan Wallen, like, just know, like, things could get crazy, right?
Wait, no, you are signing up for that, you know?
For a night of crazy debauchery. So if something crazy happens, don't be surprised.
Yeah.
But if you're just, like, walking your dog down the street and the chair comes flying off the roof, like, you didn't sign up for that.
You did it. And we will defend you here on the toast.
I'm so thankful that he didn't hurt anyone so that he is hopefully able to use this as a learning teachable moment. However, his mugshot, it's not giving teachable moment.
No, in the moment, you can tell like he has not sobered up yet. He still thinks this is funny. And he's just, I feel like the type of artist where you, like, I feel like in certain people's mugshots, they know like that their life is about to end and like change forever. Morgan Wallen's like the bad boy of country. Like he doesn't think, you know, the consequences are gonna destroy his life. Like this is just more Morgan Wallen bad boy energy. Let me write a song about it.
Yeah, it kind of is because nobody got hurt. So like he can carry on.
But you know who doesn't have a mugshot? Luke Holmes.
Yeah. Do you think he needs one?
No, like with his Columbia, you know, fisherman shirt and his pigeon-toed stance, just like my husband, like that is a sort of stability, at least for me at the phase that I'm in my life, like that I need from my role models, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, stream growing up and getting older.
Yeah. Are you ready for our next story? Some news that came out on Friday that I almost forgot about, but is so important.
And of course, like the second we wrap the show.
Yeah,
I needed time to think about this, honestly.
Sacha Baron Cohen and Isla Fisher divorced after 13 years of marriage. I needed time for it to sink in because when I first saw it, I was like, no.
I was kind of disassociating from the words.
So also the announcement was kind of weird. So that was also confusing.
Tennis question mark?
It was giving like April Fool's.
No, it was giving like crackhead. What was with that metaphor?
So she posted a picture to her Instagram story of the two of them in tennis gear. And she said, after a long tennis match lasting over 20 years, we are finally putting our rackets down. In 2023, we jointly filed to end our marriage. We have always prioritized our privacy and have been quietly working through this change. We forever share in our devotion and love for our children. We sincerely appreciate your respecting our family's wish for privacy.
So it's really crazy that they were able to like file public documents without like TMZ getting alerted to it. And I feel like that's because they were so stable. It's kind of the theme of today, like stability. They were so like no one was worried about them. No one was checking up on them. Like TMZ didn't even think to check their records. So they were able, they filed in 2023. That was last year and nobody knew.
But you don't feel like TMZ checks the records every day in Los Angeles looking for a name they know?
Maybe they didn't get married in Los Angeles. Did it say where they?
Or where they got divorced.
No, I feel like you get divorced where you got married, like where your marriage license is from.
Really? That makes sense to me.
That would make sense. Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure.
Right. That
yeah.
feels right.
So where did they get married?
I don't know.
I'll find out. Hold on. Isla Fisher wedding. Brides.com.
But they also could have had their certificate somewhere different.
Paris. Oh, that's why.
So certificate where?
Oh, that's true. Unless they're... wedding, unless they're, because he's not from America, unless they're, is he? Wait.
No, he's.
From Kazakhstan. He's British, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So maybe their wedding is not like an American one.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah, like if you get married in Paris, you can also get like the license in Paris.
Yeah, you can still be married even if you get married in Paris.
Right.
We got married in Paris.
Do you know how hard it is to find their fucking wedding articles when they just announced their divorce?
Yeah. He's from the UK.
Oh, here, 2010. Wow, they've really been together for so long. So they got married. Oh, my God, she converted to Judaism.
Wow.
Taking the Hebrew name of Ayala. Did you know that?
No, I feel sick about this. I seriously feel sick. I'm going to go look at pictures of them to make myself sadder.
And there's like no wedding photos of them. Like they're
so
private.
I feel like for me, I feel about them the way like other people feel about Emily Bunt and John Krasinski. Like they were
Emily Bunt and John Krasinski.
Listen, pronunciation. It's not happening for me today. Okay.
I love them too. No, I feel really sad. Like I love, because you know what? I like them both so much individually, like their work. And it has had like a profound impact on our, I think, our sense of comedy. Like Borat, of course, like Jewish King, all of his stupid movies, Aladdin. And her, I mean, Confessions of a Shopaholic. No. Confessions of a Shopaholic literally raised us. Men like you are the reason I left Finland. Like.
I feel sick, Claudia. I honestly didn't even like take the time to think or process this until this show today because like I haven't had to.
No, she's a redheaded queen. He's a Jewish king. She converted. Like they're really like our Roman Empire.
No, I'm seriously sick.
And they're Hollywood like, you know who she kind of looks like when she was young? Because now I'm looking through photos of them. Joanna Garcia Swisher.
Oh, yeah, they do look like. I think they're like two who always get confused for each other.
I'm watching Reba and like literally it's like the most normal sitcom. It's like not that serious. And then like, I didn't even remember this part of the show. Joanna Garcia Swisher is an alcoholic. She's like in AA. I'm like, why did they like took it too far? I'm like, okay, this was supposed to be fun and I'm not having fun anymore.
Well, I'm not having fun anymore in this episode. Now going down memory lane about these two.
I know. They're so cute.
They're so cute. Like why couldn't it work?
I don't even want to add them to the list because that feels disrespectful.
Yeah.
She's so cute. I love her. I'm just like looking at photos of her. She's really gorgeous.
She really is.
When you like convert to Judaism for like a marriage and then you get divorced, what happens?
I think it depends on the person. You know, I would hope like, that you convert because like you love the, like you don't only convert to get married. You have to like fall in love with the religion too because like that's kind
of. Well, no, of course. And actually, I think in modern Orthodox Judaism, you can't convert for a person.
Yeah, you have
like
to.
You have to convert for yourself.
Have your own reasons. So I would hope that if someone gets to like the stage of conversion, that that's just their religion too now.
Sound off in the comments. Did you convert for someone who you ended up divorcing? And what then happened with your new religion? I'm genuinely curious.
Yeah, me too. Okay, are you ready for our next story? Some new.
Why do you sound sad?
What?
Why do you sound sad?
I don't. It was a little bit of a chuckle because it's some new couple news that has taking the world by storm from what I've seen.
Minka Kelly and Tristan?
No. It's not April Fool's.
Okay.
Although for some people, I guess they think it is. For some people,
Kenan Thompson. I said Tristan Thompson.
They're brothers.
Sorry, imagine Minka Kelly. Actually, that's a cute couple.
It is.
Okay, sorry, continue.
For some people, I think they think it's April Fool's, but it's not. Aoki Lee Simmons, 21, kisses the Serafina co-founder Vittorio Asaf, 65, on a romantic trip to St. Bart's.
And I get it because, like, if I met the man who invented Serafina, I would kiss him too.
On the lips too. I would kiss him on the mouth and say thank you.
But not if he was 44 years my senior and I'm 21 years old or 25. What is it?
She's 21 and he's 65.
That's really like what this is. This is pedophilic. This is disgusting.
Yeah, she's the youngest daughter of Kimora Lee Simmons.
And yeah, Russell Simmons. Where is Russell? Where is Kimora?
Like, he posted something. I think like I saw a headline. I think he posted a picture with her just to say like,
we're good.
We're good. Yeah. I think people.
That's even more concerning.
This photo has become like a bit of a meme. This like story. Just, you know.
No. Ew. Like, for real. No matter how much penny a la vodka you get for free, like, it's not worth it, Aoki. Run!
What about the trip to St. Bart's?
Not worth
it. You wouldn't do it for another trip to St. Bart's?
If she was 25, it would really be gross, but I wouldn't find it concerning. This, I actually find, like, lock him up and throw away the key.
Yeah. But, like...
I'm sorry. I'm just like really over this like infantilization of older men, like this obsession with young girls. It's fucking disgusting. We need to be talking about it more and shaming people more because it's really disgusting.
Yeah.
Oh, why stop at 21? Go date a 12-year-old. Like, it's disgusting.
Stop.
No, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
I also just want to say, like, when I was imitating those screaming girls, my throat really hurts.
You give it all to the show. Like, you need workers' comp.
I give... Literally signing me up for workers' comp, mind, body, and spirit. Like, I'm broken.
She's breaking herself down for the comedy.
So make sure to like and subscribe.
At the least. Yeah. It's an gross. Odd story.
Yeah. And like, I didn't even know that Kimora and Russell's daughter was like of age. Like, she like should be like, you know, a Lori Harvey type. She should be like this fabulous socialite, Kaia Gerber. She should be a part of that generation. And this is my first introduction to her dating this senescence.
Yeah. Why?
It's a good, literally, why? Like, she's a beautiful girl.
Right. She has access. She wanted to go to St. Bart's on her own. She could go to St. Bart's. It's not about St. Bart's.
She could afford it. And it's not about the pasta.
No.
What is it about? What is she running from?
I don't know.
No, I'm sorry. Why are we blaming her? Like, what is he doing?
I'm not blaming. No, I didn't. There's no blame, shame in the older man game.
Actually, there is. That's what I'm trying to say.
I'm asking a question.
Why? Yeah, like, what? Like, she can't be attracted to him. Look at him. Like, he's disgusting.
I'll look at him.
I'm like, there are some 60-year-old men who we all say, like, damn, yeah.
No, it's just...
Sylph, a 60-year-old, I'd like to, you know, but he's not one of them. He's not giving Gary.
No.
And he never will.
Even if it was Gary, even if she was with Gary, why?
That's the thing. Gary would never.
No, even if she was with like the most eligible 65-year-old man and George Clooney, why?
Yeah. Well, George Clooney, I could give a few reasons, you know, like the attention, the fame, the money. Yeah.
Okay.
And of course the looks, like it's not even bad.
She has all of those things.
It's so true. And she's really gorgeous.
So it's confounding.
Yeah.
Keep you posted.
Hopefully not.
Are you ready for our next story?
What number?
Number 4.
No.
It's a crazy one. So you need to get ready.
Is it the crazy fourth story that's brought to you by Thrive Market?
Yes.
One thing we all gotta do is grocery shop. So why not do it from the comfort of your couch? That's where Thrive Market comes in, the no junk food, healthy grocery store that even kids love. So Thrive Market is our go-to for all of our grocery and household essentials. The convenience of getting it online and then quickly shipped to our door is a huge time saver, but also with Thrive Market, it's also a huge money saver. They carry brands with the highest quality ingredients and sourcing methods. So if you're, you know, kind of concerned going into your clean mama era, like Jackie over here, Thrive Market is a great resource for you, correct?
It's the best resource. I was just getting some essential oils on Thrive Market.
Oh.
But I also get all, I told you guys, like all kids snacks, adult snacks, healthy food, healthy cooking ingredients. I get my baby bath soap from there. Just if you get it from Thrive Market, they've already vetted the ingredients and that it's good right. and better for you. And when you're in your clean era, especially for us mamas, like you just don't, the less crap, the better.
No, you don't have time to be like reading all these labels. Like
Thrive Market, especially just in the vetting grocery it. Store, like, and you might buy it's like bifocals.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Also, when you join Thrive Market, you're helping a family in need. They have a one-for-one membership matching program, so you join and they give a membership. Save time and money and shop with Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/thetoast for 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/thetoast. thrivemarket.com/thetoast. Today's episode is also brought to you by Factor. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like the Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein, Protein Plus, or the Vegan and Veggie. Also discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages. They'll help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. You're getting chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes. With their ready-to-eat meals, you can get back to doing what you love. And if you're looking for gourmet meals, try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Yeah, I bet you didn't think you'd be getting broccolini and truffle butter in like a meal prep, but you are. It's also tailored to your schedule, so you can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. They're also celebrating Earth Day all month long, so look out for the Earth Month Meals badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/toast50 and use code toast50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code toast50 at factormeals.com/toast50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is still active. So that's toast50. That's the code, and it's factormeals.com/toast50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is still active.
Thank you, La Tour de Loup. Thank you.
Are you going to ask me something?
No.
Yeah, you are.
Are you ready for our next story?
No. Forgot at the top of the show there was something I wanted to share, something kind of like a major discovery I had about myself this weekend.
What should I have asked you?
Are you ready for our next story?
Oh, okay.
And I would say no.
Oh, I thought you were saying that was the wrong. Right. I thought you were saying that was the wrong question to ask you.
No. Oh. LOL. Okay, so let's start again.
Okay. Are you ready for our next story?
No, actually, because I forgot I wanted to share something at the top of the show. I discovered something like kind of crazy about myself this weekend, and I put it in our family chat and not one person answered me. So like, thanks. I discovered via TikTok that I have actually, and I have my whole life, I have an eating disorder.
What'd you say? You have an eating disorder?
I do. It's called ARFID. Avoidant Restrictive Food Intake Disorder is a fairly new eating disorder. Children with ARFID are extremely selective eaters and sometimes have little interest in eating food. They may eat a limited variety of preferred foods, which can lead to poor growth and poor nutrition. Now tell my ass that wasn't me as a kid. So literally malnourished.
So it's a new eating disorder because children are just starting to do it, or because they just came up with a name for it?
I think we've all been suffering in silence until like it has been fully diagnosed. I'm being dead serious. Like, I have this disorder.
Yeah, you have what that is. But the fact that that is called a disorder is like what's so crazy. But people really love to be labeled with diagnoses.
I want to say like it does make me feel better. Like, let me say a few things. First of all, people also ask question on Google, is ARFID just autism? How common is ARFID in adults? 23.6% of people likely have symptoms of ARFID. So let me tell you, people do like to be labeled. And in this situation, like I do get it. Like, a really annoying thing about me, like a fun fact, and people always think I'm just being dramatic. They're like, just eat the broccoli. Jackie, I literally can't.
Okay, but I just want to say, like, it also has to do with your stubborn nature as a person. Like, you're just not open to things that you don't like and you don't want to start to like them. Like, you're just not.
And you are a part of the problem. You are a part of the ARFID erasure movement. Like, you are.
Okay. Well, no, I think other people like might have ARFID in a way that's
it's ARFID, less. ARFID, excuse me.
In a way that's less coupled with their just personality in general. But I think it is your personality to be like, I like what I like and everything else can get away from me.
No, me and the avoidant restrictive food intake disorder community, we see your silence and we take it as violence.
You see my silence and you take it as silence?
as violence.
Oh, that's, yeah. That sounds like, that sounds right.
And I just want to, you know, shout out to the ARFID community. I see you and we will not be silenced.
No, but it is nice to like get a name put to something that's unique yes. to you. But I do think people really like get really so crazy about it and then yes, they make yes. it their identity. Like, could you imagine if you go to a restaurant and you're like, I'm sorry, like I just have ARFID. So
like. It's ARFID.
What?
You're calling it ARFID.
ARFID, like a fish. But you don't need fish.
FID. ARFID. Duh, duh, duh. Yeah, and I want to shout out the little girl on TikTok who taught me about it. She was like, I have ARFID and I'm trying pepperoni pizza today. And she tried it. And
that's how
she
you
didn't
should do your
it.
Videos. I have ARFID and I'm trying olive oil today or whatever you do.
Oh my God, olive oil, ew.
Olives, that's the one.
Olives.
Ugh. Thanks, Selena. I love olives. So that yeah, was just like your ARFID.
I just want you to be conscious that you're now doing a show with someone who has like a kind of crazy disorder. So just like be aware of
be
me,
please. Be mindful.
And I just want you to see me, okay?
I can't not see you.
Did you just call me fat? Did you just call me fat?
Turtaloo, can I get to the next story? Or will your ARFID get in the way?
Well, thank you for seeing me and my ARFID. No, but I really have it, like for real.
No, you do, if it exists. Like if it's, sorry.
Not today.
Yes, like you are a picky eater and now we're calling that ARFID. Sure.
But it's more than picky eater. Okay, you know what? I don't have to explain myself to you. Go. The ARFID community sees me.
The ARFID denial movement.
Oh my God, ADM. That's you. You're starting an organization.
This next story.
And I'm starting the AVM, the ARFID visibility movement.
Do you want to make today ARFID visibility day?
I'm calling it April 8th. And it's actually quite kismet that it would be the day before Toast Anniversary Day. We're truly so funny. Like, it's really disgusting.
Okay, well, that's the title of today's episode so that everyone can see it.
ARFID Visibility Day.
ARFID Visibility
we
Day.
We are so funny. Like, seriously. Like, it makes me sick.
This next story is going to make you sick, too.
Oh, fuck. What?
Because it's, like, giving yucky.
Is somebody else denying ARFID visibility? Let me guess. King Charles' ARFID Visibility Day is not real?
No. Sicker than that, honestly.
What?
Messy Noah Cyrus likes...
Oh, my God.
Noah Cyrus liked Liam Hemsworth's thirst trap amid the alleged family feud in the Cyrus family. So just to back it up, Miley Cyrus was married to Liam Hemsworth from 2018 to 2020. Noah Cyrus is like kind of on the outs with her family because she may or may not have dated her mom's husband before... Before they
she
got married.
She may or may not have dated her dad.
And now she just liked a gym selfie of her sister's ex-husband.
Now, I want to say two things. Now, I need everybody to go look at the photo because what I'm about to say, like, you need to have seen the photo. So I'm sure most of you have.
I'm looking at it.
And my first thought is ick. Do you agree? Like, I'm not really into, like, that. There's a difference between being messy. Like, he's totally on steroids. Like, he looks crazy.
Oh, you don't like how he looks?
Ick.
Like, or you're icked out that he would take a picture like this and post it and he put a filter on it and everything.
I don't like the way that he looks. Like, he looks like seriously somebody put like helium in his chest and his shoulders. Like, he looks crazy.
Okay.
And it's like so clear he's trying to keep up with his brother, but like his brother has that build. Like, his brother probably has the same body, but it looks so good on Chris because like that's the Thor build. Liam just doesn't have it, so he needs to like stop trying, not to be so mean. I just like, not to body shame, like I really did not like the way that he looked. Like, this look is just not for me.
That's kind of a hot take, no?
Really?
Because isn't he just like the handsomest?
Yeah, he is. And like, I don't know why he had to like take this so far. He like looks kind of like bodybuilder-y crazy.
Maybe he has a role. Or it's just like, that's what you
Jackie,
do.
He doesn't have a role.
Stop. He's thanking everyone in the caption, but it got cut off. Let me see what he's thanking them for.
Oh, what could he be thanking everyone for?
Thank you to everyone who has watched Land of Bad. The feedback has been awesome. Extremely grateful for all the love and support.
Now, what is Land of Bad? Tap the at.
It looks like it's a movie. I'm trying to watch a bit of the trailer. It's giving military.
Is
yeah.
it like indie? I haven't heard of it.
Russell Crowe.
Oh, okay.
Is in it. Milo Ventimiglia.
Oh, okay. Star studded.
Yeah, but it looks to be like a war movie.
I find Liam's career like so interesting, you know?
Yeah.
It kind of just like fell off a little bit, no?
Yeah, considering Hunger Games was the biggest thing.
Oh my God, Hunger Games. I was, of course, thinking, when the waves are flooding the shore and I can't find my way home anymore. That's, what's that movie called? The Longest Yard. Song. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why he hasn't had more success recently. Mostly Hunger Games, but also neither has Gale.
But maybe you make so much money from Hunger Games and like they're over it. It's like sometimes that happens with people. Like you get in a franchise, like no matter how famous you were before, like the money is not, like you don't love being famous. I feel like that happened with Cameron Diaz. Like after she made that Shrek money.
Maybe this is naive, but do you think he still makes that much from Hunger Games today?
I don't know, but I think maybe at the time, after the first movie, like you resign, like you
yeah,
get.
Yeah, those yeah, yeah.
Those are retirement franchises if you want.
Okay, but he's obviously not retired. He just has Land of Bad.
Right, right. No, that's true. So maybe he's only taking on projects that like he really wants to and not for the fame or the money. I don't know. Because PETA too, you're right.
Yeah. I don't know. But let's not deviate from the...
Yeah, sorry.
What happened. I know we don't want to talk about it because it's yucky, but...
It's yucky. And like, while I do feel like Noah Cyrus was the injured party in the Dominic debacle, like if she really did date someone and then her mom married him, like she has every right to be upset, but like when they go low you do the same thing, like now you're also getting involved in the incest. I don't like it.
Yeah, agreed. What now, is Noah like we're all, doing
yeah, what is Noah doing now but we're Claudia, all just like in think,
the, I just want to I don't know what happened behind the scenes with the Cyrus family, but you don't think that if Noah was dating someone and then the mom like stole her daughter's man that Miley would have sided with her sister and Brandy would have sided with her sister?
No, it's a good question. But in that article, it said Miley hadn't known that.
Why wouldn't...
No, I don't know. You're right. No, we definitely do not know what's really going on because you're right.
Yeah, and when I look at the Cyrus family and who are the better Cyruses. Like, what I think like Miley, Tish, and Brandy.
Well, yeah, because like, they're super close. Like,
no, but like, Noah seems crazy. I don't know. Noah seems crazy, okay? I said it.
Oh, that's what you were trying to say.
That's what I'm trying to say.
She gives Gen Z like radical energy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that I feel.
And now like liking your, and also like, liking your sister's ex-husband's thirst trap, like that's insane. In public fashion, like such as this.
It's not appropriate. And this is just more behavior like I can't get on board with. Throwing furniture off of roofs, getting involved in incest. Like these are things that are not Turdy approved. And I can't comment on them. Like I'm not disgusting. So I don't have any thoughts. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. This is too far.
I'm a Hamish girl.
Reel like, it in. Family counseling, you guys. It's time. It's gone too far.
It's time. And like, I really don't want to be talking about this anymore. Like y'all need to figure it out, you know?
Y'all. Okay, ready for our fifth and final story then? Just gonna end it on a lighter note.
Great.
Some exciting touring news. Missy Elliott will embark on her first headlining tour ever with Busta Rhymes, Ciara, and Timbaland as support.
Ever?
Yeah, Missy Elliott, whose career has provided the very definition of Lima wanting more, has long resisted touring, but that's changing in 2024, along with some super high profile support acts. The hip-hop icon will embark on a tour of arenas in 24 cities this year. Shockingly, this is the first time she's toured as a headliner in her entire career, which began in the 1990s.
Honestly, that's so ideal, and I feel like it's because nowadays with like streaming, if you want to make money off of an album, you have to tour it. Like, you make no money from streaming. Like, it's what you do after the album that makes money. And I feel like with Missy Elliott, when she was, like, going number one, she was probably selling millions of albums, like, physical copies. She made so much money from that. Like, who the fuck needs to tour? Now it's the opposite. But, like, honestly, being, like, a hitmaker in the 90s was probably so lucrative.
Yeah.
Even, like, a mid-level one.
Yeah, and now there are so many like fun things you can do with touring. I feel like there's a lot of flexibility. Make it your
residencies.
Own. Make it work for you. But I also get her like not wanting to tour until now.
No, I feel like touring is like one of the worst parts of doing music. And I feel like that's always what like causes these celebrities to have like full breakdowns, whether it's like physical health, mental health. I feel like Justin Bieber, Shawn Mendes in his documentary was like, I was literally not okay. Like being that far away from home for that long of a period of time is like really bad for you when you're already like fragile.
Yeah.
I mean, Ariana Grande, like.
Especially when you're young too.
Yeah.
So I think this will just be like a
fun
legacy celebration of career. We're having a good time. I think it'll be a great show. Jolly good show. And
go off Sierra, you know?
Yeah.
She's like so interesting to me. I follow her on social media. She's one of my favorite people to follow. Her family is beautiful, obsessed with her marriage, and she herself like couldn't be more gorgeous. And it's like so crazy because to me, she's like a celebrity, businesswoman, socialite. Like, I don't forget she's a singer. She has literally one song.
Yeah. And she's also a mom.
And it's with Missy Elliott.
I think she has 4 kids now.
Yeah, no, and she has, like, 1 with Future, 3 with Russell Wilson. Like, I was kind of obsessed with, like, that whole drama when, like, Russell Wilson, like, was just obsessed, like, so chivalrous and, like, protecting her from Future. Like, loved, loved, loved. And she has one song. Like, how could she go on tour?
For a feature, maybe.
No, and she has one song, and it's with Missy Elliott. So what? I think maybe Missy Elliott just brings her out for one song?
Yeah.
Kind of love that.
Yeah, fun. It sounds like fun.
Yeah. It sounds like fun. I feel like she had her kids. Like she was very much in like her settling down era where she was just like focusing on business and family. And now her kids are probably a little bit older. Like she can go out on the road.
I think she literally just had a baby.
Oh, cool, cool, cool.
But babies like cars.
Babies love cars.
Love. They love the car seat. They love the motion. They love a bus.
On the road we go.
The wheels on the bus.
They do go round and round.
So that's exciting.
That is exciting. Has there been any update when you've been searching for stories on J-Lo's tour? Like if that Greatest Hits rebrand made any movement on ticket sales? I'm just like obsessed
with
that
story. On ticket sales, but more people were picking it up, like the quiet change.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a quiet change when it comes to like something like this. When you're going to scale down a tour, like it always, people like love to like jump on that shit.
Yeah, I mean, we did like report on it endlessly, but I think we ended in a good place. Like I feel optimistic, and maybe I will see J-Lo like when she comes through.
By the way, that's the thing about it. If it's a Greatest Hits tour, I totally would.
Yeah, sounds so fun.
That's our show. So I guess we've decided like I'm not doing anything drastic with my hair.
No, I don't know why you should. Give me one reason why you should.
Just to feel something different.
No, that's exactly why you shouldn't.
Okay, you're right.
You don't mess with your hair to feel something different. That's when mistakes are made.
1,000%. Okay, you're right. Thank you. And thank you guys for listening to The Toast, the Millennial Morning Show. We deliver the fast stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give us a video, thumbs up. We're also available as podcasts and where podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, Stitcher, Public Media, IRA, CastBox, all places where we listen to podcasts. Find us at Toast, the fast story, sending and regularly downloaded we are.
Love ya. Bye.